Hello, welcome to Base Camp for Men. I'm your host, Tony Rizak. This is a show that gives you insights and resources in how to live a more courageous life. We look to assist you on your hero's journey in any way that we can. Truth is our compass, humanity, our tribe. Welcome and let's get started. Hello, Base Campers. I hope you're all doing well. One of the themes on Base Camp the past two or three seasons has been natural law or true freedom or sovereignty. And I think it is one of the most underrated and misunderstood topics going these days. Central to natural law is a deep understanding that our rights come from God, our creator, and they're naturally ours. The government does not give you your rights. The Constitution does not give you your rights. It protects you from the government infringing on your God-given rights. Are you following me? If you refuse to acknowledge and accept that you have natural rights, you may as well affix chains to your wrists and live out your days as a slave to those who you believe give you your rights. By our humanity alone, we have God-given rights. To think otherwise suggests that we get our rights from another source. Does the government give us our rights? Does a bureaucrat? Do we wait for a new policy or law to find out what our rights are? No, not at all. The reason this perspective is so important is because if man grants our rights, then man can take them away. If you rely on the government to grant rights, then the government can take them away or decide not to grant them. Again, you have God-given rights to enjoy freedom and liberty, to come and go as you please in your pursuit of happiness. Every single person on earth is free to enjoy these things as long as you do not infringe on the God-given rights of others. I'm not allowed to infringe on your rights, and you're not allowed to infringe on mine. By our humanity alone and our mere existence here on earth, you have these natural, God-given, unalienable rights. You're free as long as you remember the source of your rights. The conversation today hopefully adds another piece in our understanding of all this. And now on to our sponsor and our interview. Enjoy. Today's episode is brought to you by Stand Up Now Apparel. Stand Up Now has amazing designs centered on God, family, freedom, and patriotism. They use only the softest cotton in their designs and have gear for the whole family. Something for everyone, Base Campers. I know you're going to love their products. Go support them at www.standupnowapparel.com and use the code BASECAMP to receive a 10% discount and free shipping. And now, on to our interview. My guest today is Will Keller. Will is a speaker and educator dedicated to revealing the causal factors that shape human experience from behavior and perception to morality and consequence. He translates the principles of natural law, objective morality, and human behavior into practical insights empowering individuals to reclaim responsibility, elevate awareness, and build true sustainable freedom from the inside out. Here is my interview with Will Keller. All right, I am here with Will Keller, teacher and moral educator, workshop leader, Will Keller. Will, welcome to Base Camp for Men. It's great to have you on the show.
Appreciate you, Tony. It's great to be here.
Yeah, you know, I found your stuff. I was clicking. I've been on this sovereignty jag for a while, you know, clicking on who could I have on to help flesh out the understanding of some of these things. And I found you and I was like, hey, man, this guy looks really, really awesome. And you were game, thankfully. So here we are. But before we really get into the meat of it, maybe you could just tell us a little bit about yourself so people know, like, maybe where you grew up. I didn't know if you served in the military. I forgot to ask you that. What you've done for work and maybe where you live now.
Yeah, excellent. I am born and raised in the Bay Area, Northern California. I'm a moral educator. I have not served in the military, thank God. But you know, have had family members that have and stuff like that. And
of course.
Yeah. So, I mean, my journey, I have a unique childhood, actually. I have fantastic parents. I come from separated parents, but still a great relationship, and was blessed to have a stepmother that, you know, raised me and was a great feminine figure in my life. And I was raised on a ranch, which I attribute that aspect to really a key factor in my journey, just because being raised, especially in the young formative years, close to nature, had a huge impact on my childhood and even my adult life. So being raised on a ranch right outside a suburb in the Bay Area, Bay Area itself is very diverse. And I love the land of California. And then, you know, my journey in my later years, I was in the music industry for about 15 years. So toured around the world, did some hip hop and, you know, rap music and did a lot of performances. And it was a really good coming to understand my own ego phase, which was very valuable during that time and, you know, allowed me to kind of mature in many areas. And then like most things, you become a father, which, you know, that's really where the metal hits, right? I mean, that was a life-changing catalyst for me. And coming out of the music industry, I was partying all the time. I was living that life. So substance abuse was at the forefront. And it's like, okay, I'm about to be a father. It's time to grow up. It's time to become a man, a real man. I need to do some internal work. And that started my whole journey, primarily in my own psyche, my own psychology of, you know, how did I get here? Why do I do the things that I do, et cetera? Yeah. And that led me on to, after, you know, conquering that, I kept it going. Education, learning more about myself than what is going on in the world, nature, reality, metaphysics, consciousness, esoteric studies. Fast forward to probably about 7 years ago. I mean, I've been public for about 7 years. 2012, I gained an accurate perception of what is going on in the world. The causal factors of reality, the human condition is how I like to call it. And then that moral obligation, okay, to act, to do something about it, not just complain about it. What are the solutions? What are the actions and behaviors that are involved? And then something like the pandemic is a great, another catalyst for many people, lift the veil over perception. And that kicked me into going actually public and becoming a moral educator, content creator, and trying to spread this message of truth, freedom, and right action.
That's awesome. You know, you and I have a similar phase in that I was a big partier when I was younger. I loved booze. I loved a party. I loved the good times. Let the good times roll. And when I became a father, all of a sudden, there was like a come Jesus moment where I was like, I don't want to be this guy. I don't want to be the guy that's got the drinking problem when my son's, you know, growing up, you know. And so I got sober, and, you know, that whole thing, like I realized, kind of like what you did, I was like, this version of me is not what I want as a father. I need to upgrade here. And the upgrade is my own internal work and right-sizing my ego, and all the things that you had talked about was really prevalent for me, and ended up becoming like a really great chapter, like the fatherhood chapter. I'm super proud of how I showed up and how sober I was and lucid and clear. You know what I mean? And yeah, you know, you teach natural law among many other topics. And you know, I saw a video that I listened to that is, what is natural law and how is it the blueprint for a free society? So can you talk about that? What is natural law for our listeners? And why do you feel like it's like really the cornerstone of a free society?
Yeah, fantastic question. This is really getting to the core of what I kind of propagate in my message. So let's lay some definitions down, right? Definitions itself is clarity of meaning. And I think this is really important to jump off a segment with anything anyone's trying to convey a message, right? We start with the definitions. So natural, coming from the Latin, naturalis, meaning inherent, creation, meaning it's not man-made, it's from the divine, it's from creation, it's innate in the world. And then law, the actual definition is an immutable, unchanging condition or dynamic. When we put these together, right, we have the governing dynamics of reality. Simple definition. Now, this can go many different ways. We can look at health, we can look at gravitation, thermodynamics, we can get into, electricity. All of these things are based upon the laws of nature that human beings, it's not based on opinion, it's not what we say it is, it's inherent in nature, in reality. And it's our perception that aligns with this through knowledge, and then we can act accordingly. Now, when I use the term natural law, I am talking about the universal principles that determine whether actions or behaviors lead towards freedom, harmony, flourishing, liberty, or towards chaos, suffering, slavery, and death. Because the consequences of our actions are determined by natural law, by these laws of nature. And this is where we get into kind of the blueprint of our intermingling, interconnectedness as human beings and on other all life, right? I mean, nature itself, it's based upon relationships. What are our relationships with each other, with our family, our community, with the animals, with the land, with principles, with truth, right? So when we get into moral law, natural law, it's very important that this is almost going to be the first segment, the jump off point that's going to determine the condition and the quality of societal relationships. So when I use a term like morality, of course, morality has a lot of religious, cultural religious baggage to it. And I can dismiss that easily. I'm stating through natural law that there is an objective standard of behavior. A standard of behavior. That standard is objective, not based on perception or opinion or feelings, right? It is whether something is in violation of another or not, or it's consensual. And this is the foundational operating of behavior. Right.
Is it different? Like sometimes you hear people interchange almost like natural law with God's law, even though it's you kind of get from the way they describe it. They're not talking about the Ten Commandments and stuff. It's just like it's your God-given right to, you know what I mean? Like whatever it is. Like, and it's like you don't need to ask for permission. The Constitution doesn't give you those rights. They protect tyrants and governments from impinging on your inalienable rights that are given from God. And then I've kind of think of them as the same thing, but is there a distinction or is it there's some overlap or am I right on top of it?
When you say it like that, you're right in the bullseye. You're absolutely correct. Good. There's been many truth speakers all throughout history that have talked about the same thing, what I just defined, but use different terms. Cause and effect, simply, right? Moral law, universal law, God's law, natural law, right? All of these. This is why definitions are important. So we are talking about the same thing, but they are inherent governing dynamics that determine the consequences of human behavior, right? So that is cause and effect. It's also real karma. The definition of karma itself is action in the Sanskrit. And that is talking about a compounding of choices that leads to an effect. You get an action to reaction. So you get the cause and effect. So karmic law is another term that it has been used. But yes, it is something that is independent from human beings. Now, what does that have to do with human beings? That's because we are gifted with free will. This is inherent in the human experience. And we have the ability to choose our actions and our behaviors, but absolutely we cannot escape the consequences of those choices. So why this is important to humanity and to the societal level is that from natural law, if human beings are choosing or supporting or condoning immorality, meaning actions and behaviors that either violate another's rights, you know, the initiation of violence and theft, or they support and condone it, right? Because there's a lot of people out there, we saw this through the pandemic, that are actually supporting and condoning conditions of violence, which are, they are as guilty. They're adding to that pot, that energetic pot that leads to a certain condition. And through natural law, when the aggregate or the totality or the collective of human beings, if they are in alignment with morality, then that condition in society will be towards freedom. If it's in the inverse of immorality, it will be chaos and slavery.
You know, as you're talking, I'm realizing again in a fresh way, look at how simple to understand natural law is and follow, whereas all the man-made laws by the United States Corporation, like all the, you know, maritime law, commercial law, it's unbelievably confusing and hard to follow and hard to track and easy to, you know, fine people and all. It's just it's a maze of just chaos and confusion, where natural law is actually really simple and elegant and easy for the heart and the soul to kind of track and understand and follow, right?
Oh, absolutely. And you mentioned some key terms, the heart, right? The heart and the mind. Everyone wants to say, well, who determines harm? Where does that come from? It is within our very existence, our structure. You can feel when you are being violated. You can feel when someone else is being violated, right? So the recognition and the realization of morality, objective morality, absolutely, you can feel it in the heart, and you can come to know it through logic and reason as well. So as our goal, and this is why it's the blueprint, right? Whenever you're creating something, the blueprint is first. That's the first thing you start with. It comes from the mind. You write out the blueprint that is going to dictate the structure or the path that you want to follow to build something. And if the very basis of our interactions, of our relationships, and how we treat each other, and how we build systems together, if that is based on moral relativism, meaning it's whatever anyone says, it differs between location, time, place, etc., or force, right, manpower, then absolutely that is going to be a destructive system and a destructive society. And of course, understanding these objective standards, that is the blueprint that we can now educate the youth, we can propagate to each other, and it can become common sense, because it is our goal as human beings to align our perception with objective truth and then act upon that.
I wanted to ask you, I know that the whole consciousness thing, it's an inner game, and you can't just come to the realization that you're talking about. It's almost like going to a dojo. Like, you got to train, you got to do the work, the inner work that you talked about earlier, right? You've got to do the inner work to get to the point where you're like, I can really see this distinction. But I'm starting to see, and I wanted to ask you about this, I'm starting to see decentralized systems that are being built to replace the centralized maritime law, commercial law, globalist control grid. I think one of the things that, as people, I think we grew up, and the centralized system really has grown up big in you and I's lifetime, to the point where it represents all this convenience, even though there's a lot of surveillance and there's no freedom. Like, they can, you know, they're building central bank digital currency, and every app you open knows how to spy on you and can have this conversation right now will be transcribed in Zoom if anybody wants to really see it in a centralized system. But I'm seeing things like what's called like freedom technology, which is kind of technology from cell phones that are made to be off the grid and not surveilled, Bitcoin, which is a decentralized money, and plus some other things that we're going to come to find out, Nostr, which nobody knows what it is. It's actually a decentralized social app that can't censor you. They can't shadow ban you. Whatever you say on the app, people see without any centralized algorithm goes, oh, Tony's talking about be careful with the vaccine again. Let's mute that and not let anybody read it. It's a decentralized system that says, hey, it's you're free to say what you want, and then people will either follow you or won't, but we're not going to get in the way of any of that. That's not our principles at all. And I'm also seeing decentralized medicine popping up where it's like all of a sudden the authority, I think COVID kind of blew out the trust of the centralized systems for everybody. It doesn't matter if you're a liberal or a conservative. I think people are like, I don't know if I really trust these guys at all. And so it has put decentralized systems, there's been seeds planted and they've grown into small plants now. And I wanted to get your thoughts on it because it looks like maybe on the surface, they're just, it could be from the same level of consciousness, but I don't think so. I think people are evolving with sovereignty and freedom and natural law as a centerpiece. And then they're saying, we got to build our own systems because they are not going to build them for us, you know? And so I'm starting to see that. It's making me really excited. It's making me excited for my older years and for my son, and maybe my unborn grandchildren could grow up in a decentralized where people are growing food. I mean, it's just like back to the, like your upbringing where people just, I got a few acres with some friends and we're kind of off grid and we don't need to do any of that other stuff. Right. And so yeah. I wanted to get you, that's a lot to riff on and hand over to you, but anything you want to grab there and kind of expound on?
Yeah, no, that's great. And I do love seeing, you know, these decentralized systems and technology come out. I mean, I'm kind of on a side project that I've launched a year ago. It's hydrogen therapy. And when I first came into the awareness of hydrogen therapy 14 years ago, it was being censored left and right, right? This because it was going toward, it was going against the flow of the narrative. And now we're seeing it expand, and amongst everything, so I'm a big proponent of the exit and build strategy. I think these are great. But like you mentioned as well, it does stem from the internal. That is the zero point. So my concern is that not enough people are talking about, educating, and understanding this foundational information of natural law and objective morality, because how natural law functions, how real karma functions, it's whichever the stronger energetic force is going to dominate and create the condition. And that's like a crude example, meaning the breakaway communities and the decentralized breakaway systems, that's great, but it will eventually be overran by still the tyrannical systems that are growing in itself and doubling. So we have a power differential due to differential.
It's like a beautiful plant being planted inside a field of all these weeds that love to eat everything else. You know, it's like
that's a great analogy. As an herbalist and a gardener myself, green thumb, that is a great analogy, and that's exactly how karma, how natural law functions, and it makes sense even on an energetic aspect, right? The path of least resistance, regardless, it is just law. Nature just operates. It doesn't care about feelings or emotions. It just is. So in my message, I absolutely am a supporter of these decentralized systems and technologies in hand with that education of morality, objective morality, and natural law. And this is why, you know, we've also seen in the past some of these really great potential technologies and platforms all of a sudden get co-opted or they break down. And I think that's because they don't have that strong ethos or that understanding of true morality, and it gets kind of overturned or it implodes from the inside or it just gets co-opted from externally.
Well, and I don't know about you, but one of the things in my own psyche is I love convenience. It's hard for me to divorce Google. You know what I mean? Like, there's just a part of me, it's like, God, I got to learn a new way of doing so many things. We spoke of this before we started recording. I'm like, I'm kind of a creature of habit. And, you know, my technological, how I do things and stuff is certainly inside the centralized system. So as I learn the new systems and start to plant my flag over there, but I'm still, it's very much a process. It's probably going to be a few years as I try to bring more of my life force and more of my intention and energy over to these systems that I really believe in, because I believe in natural law and I believe in the foundation of what they're building, and I want to support it. I want to see it succeed. But it's not like, you know, I'm just giving the middle finger to the centralized grid and saying, see you guys later, you guys suck. It's like, there's certain, we've all gotten used to how convenient it is. And that's what they get you with, or the, you know, the dopamine that you get from opening up your social media. Oh, there's blah, blah, you know? And so I'm hooked, and like, I'm a, you know, to our stories earlier, I'm kind of a dopamine person, you know? So it's just like, well, I'm not getting it from drinking and smoking, so I guess I'll get it this way, you know? And so I'm still working through my own alchemy to be free of it, basically.
It's a very interesting time that we're living in, because first of all, freedom is completely proportional to technology, to the use of technology, right? Technology being just simply a tool, and depending on the wielder and how it is used. But we need to understand that we need to use technology for the pursuit of freedom itself. So yes, as the surveillance state is increasing, and we want to increase our reach through these platforms, and to reach multiple minds, hundreds of thousands, as many as possible, to get them this information, then we have to use certain programs, platforms, tools. And this is why even the understanding of morality and natural law is important within the tech realm, right? So open source individuals and companies, they need to understand why they need to make good quality open source software, right?
Yep.
Because if it breaks down, if it's crappy, if it's a bad tool, it is hard for us to use to propagate a message. And that that can be applied to anything, you know, agriculture, permaculture, etc., medicine itself. Sure. So these tools are very important. And the precursor of all of that is in the mind of individuals and what they what they know or what they believe.
I love that. I love that. You know, you had written that cowardice is a trend and courage is a tradition. I love this. And, you know, Base Camp for Men was really a show to help people with their hero's journey, to help them live more courageously, to face themselves. So for me, of course, I grabbed that. And I wanted just to ask you about that. You and I talked a little bit before we started recording. As I told you my experience during COVID in Seattle, which I felt like, not to be egotistical or put myself above people, I was just shocked at how few people stood up with courage to speak the truth and saying, wait a minute. They're asking us to swallow an awful lot of BS on this. I just didn't see anybody. It was me, my wife, and like three people I knew, and all this whole group that I was a part of. So many of them were just like, stick your mask on and shut up. And I was just like, you know, where's the courage? You guys are trying to gang up on anybody that's got any courage to speak up. And just like cowardice and herd mentality, and there's safety in numbers. I was just appalled. I wanted to give you a chance to chat about how courage is tradition, cowardice is trendy.
Yeah, this is a phrase that I speak on often in my work and my presentations. And, you know, cowardice spreads easily. It's infectious. And it can spread through populations. It is the easy way out. It is the easy thing to do. Courage, on the other hand, must be consciously cultivated, right? It has to be preserved and passed down. It is something that is generated and worked upon within someone in that internal work. So it's very similar to just freedom or slavery. Right? To break something down, to destroy something, is extremely easy. To burn a house down, just takes light a match, throw it on the carpet, it's done. Cowardice is the same thing. It's very easy to go with the herd, with the tribe, and not think for yourself and just do what, you know, consensus-based emotional feels is telling you. That's because trends itself are reactive. They're socially contagious. They're temporary as well, and they're extremely emotionally driven. And all of that's really dependent on the ultimate belief system the ultimate religion, which is the belief in human authority, right? They're looking for approval from the crowd, from society, from the quote unquote authority figure.
Yeah.
And, and courage, this is something that you are acting on despite of the unknown, despite of fear. And it is something, like I mentioned, that must be cultivated. And this is why I speak on this, is because conscious parenting and the breaking the multi-generational mind control for the youth is extremely important. We need to understand objective morality, natural law, what real sovereignty means, consciousness, and it needs to be educated to the youth. And this becomes a tradition where that knowledge is passed down. We see this in the mystery traditions. We see this in the animistic indigenous cultures in the past. A lot of oral traditions, right? Writing was relatively kind of recent. It was always spoken, because you're speaking, you have that vibratory resonance and frequency, and it's something that is practiced, and you have to interact with it. And that is what courage is, 100%. Mm.
Look at what they're doing in the public schools. They're grooming cowardice and compliance, and saying, you know, it's actually applauded if you go along, no matter how insane the woke agenda is, how insane the belief system is against common sense and just sovereignty and your own self-respect and dignity. It's actually, they create this kind of environment where it's like, you got to go along. You're safe in the herd. Mm-hmm. If you're going to be a courageous 10-year-old or a courageous 13-year-old and go against the narrative, you know, you're going to be a problem student. You're not going to have as many friends. And it's just a really toxic environment for any young boy or girl who happens to have a nose for truth and is a courageous person, you know?
Yes.
So it is not a safe place for young developing minds and souls. If I did it all again, I ended up sending my son to a faith-based high school to get away from that. But I would probably, if I started over again and I had a 2-year-old, I would probably do homeschooling and just make it work. Just find a way, you know what I mean? And just,
definitely.
And you know what I mean? I just think those kids are going to be so much better off. I don't know what you think about that, but.
Oh, 100%. As an unschooling father with a almost 13-year-old daughter. And she has had a glimpse into what the kind of the public schooling system looks like, even though it was a Waldorf-inspired self-directing classroom setting, which is way better than just actual regular public school.
Oh, yeah.
It's very different as well. But we're very much a proponent, and there needs to be a lot of deconditioning in the quote unquote homeschooling. I use the term unschooling because it's self-directed. It's not taking the state or the government's curriculum and mimicking it right inside the house.
Right.
That whole structure builds that consensus thought process. And this is the opposite of courage. Courage is not emotional comfort at all. Courage really is, it's fidelity to truth, right? In the presence of fear. And cowardice promotes that social punishment, ridicule, compliance, all that kind of stuff.
You know, whenever I get a chance to say this on a podcast, I always take advantage. But wasn't Rudolf Steiner just so ahead of his time? God, I was just like, what a mind, and just like, I always just shake my head at just like how much great work he's done. And I don't know. I saw that you had mentioned Rudolf Steiner, then you just mentioned Waldorf, and I just wanted to plug Rudolf Steiner. Like, if you've never checked out his books, and God, it's just an amazing understanding, just so far ahead of his time, you know? So,
absolutely. And even within my work, this is why I say that we need to not shun or be afraid. We need to understand what the category of the occult is. And mm-hmm. it is simply a body of information, and that information is natural law and human psychology. That's all it is. And of course, that information can be used for, you know, immoral practices and gain, and of course moral and relationship to truth and self-improvement.
Yeah, that's a great point.
And he's a great example.
He is, absolutely. Well, this has just been great. I wanted to give you a chance to talk about where people can find you and your work. What are you working on? Any creative projects you'd like our listeners to know about? I've got a couple websites that I'll mention, but I'll let you mention them as well. And yeah, as we start to get this horse in the barn, let us know where people can, where can people find you?
Thanks, Tony. I have, you know, my work is centralized at willkeller.com. And that's great because it's just easy. It's my name. You go there and then all my projects are there. My presentations, my my live streams, and also any kind of side projects that I do. Of course, I mentioned Ostara Hydrogen Therapy. If someone is into alternative health, go there. You can check that out. And also, I am a co-creator of the Funnel Conference, which is an acronym for Freedom Under Natural Law, 2-day free online event, 9 hours each day with presentations, art, live performances. This is all virtual, so anyone around the world can tune in, and it's completely free. And we are planning the 6th conference right now, and all the replays are available that people can get to. And I'm also a contributor of the One Great Work Network, which is a conglomerate of truth speakers that understand natural law. And this is hosted by Mark Passio of What on Earth is Happening. He put this together, and I'm a content creator on there. It's a fantastic hub for anyone that's kind of in this umbrella of occultism, esoteric studies, consciousness, natural law, freedom. There's 75 content creators on there.
What's the name of that one again?
OneGreatWorkNetwork.com.
OneGreatWorkNetwork.com. Beautiful. Sorry, didn't mean to interrupt you there.
No, that's fine. Yep. And all of those you can find on my website itself, willkeller.com. And I recommend people, if they want to check more into my work, start with my presentations. It's something that I'm very passionate. I do live presentations often with slides and try to embody my motto, which is simplify the profound. Let's take metaphysical topics on consciousness, freedom, and break them down so you can even use for your young children to explain and understand.
Beautiful. Well, Will, thank you so much for coming on Basecamp for a minute. It's just an absolute pleasure to meet you, sit around the fire and talk about all these topics that we're so passionate about. And just, I know the listeners are going to really love this episode, and come back anytime. It's just been a real joy. Thanks for taking time today with us.
Thanks, Tony. I appreciate you, brother.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that conversation as much as I did. We will continue to explore this theme of sovereignty and freedom as our foundation, along with all the other topics we plan on covering this season and beyond. And you can find Will at his hub at www.willkeller.com. Thank you, Base Campers, and we'll see you around the fire next week. If you find value in our show and wish to show us some love, we are now making that very easy to do. You simply go to www.basecampformen.com and click on Donate Support Basecamp. You'll find an easy way to make either monthly donations for as little as $5 a month, or you can donate just once. We love the monthly donation and hope to build this up over the coming months, but any show of support is greatly appreciated, honestly. Thank you for your support and for helping to keep Basecamp as a resource on your hero's journey. That's our show for today. Thank you for listening. Men, good luck in all your endeavors, and good luck on your hero's journey. This is Tony Rezac, and you're listening to Basecamp for Men.